This is Instant Game Reaction, an immediate look back at the Colts' latest game.
And trying to make an adjustment on the ball is Michael Pittman. He catches it, and he rumbles across the goal line. Touchdown, a 42-yard strike.
Air it out downfield, down the far sideline, looking for Zay Jones, and it's intercepted by the Colts. He's in! Touchdown, INDY!
Now, here's your host, J.J. Stankovitz from Colts.com.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into another episode of Instant Reaction, a special edition of Instant Reaction here on the Colts Audio Network. I'm J.J. Stankovitz, joined by Bill Brooks, Colts Ring of Honor wide receiver, as we break down the Colts' first-round selection in the 2024 NFL Draft, Leiatu Latu, defensive end from UCLA. Bill, can you believe the Colts are the 15th pick? Leiatu Latu was the first defensive player off the board this year. There were six quarterbacks taken before the Colts got on the board. This tells me that as the Colts are going through this, they looked at what was available, mm-hmm. and boy, offense was heavily picked over in the first 14 picks. Why not take the best defensive player on your board, which in this case is the defensive end from UCLA, Leiatu Latu?
Exactly. If all those offensive players are taken and there's no defensive players taken and you want to get an edge rusher or someone that's going to put pressure on the quarterback and get to the quarterbacks, because we know, as we've seen in the AFC South, you know, you have these quarterbacks with C.J. Stroud at Houston, they're going to have Will Levis in Tennessee, you have in Jacksonville, you have
Trevor Lawrence.
So you want to get some pressure on the quarterbacks. You have a edge rusher now that you got. You know, during free agency, they had said that they had looked at Danielle Hunter.
Yes.
In regards to looking to bring him in. Didn't work out for that. So now you can get an edge rusher, a guy that's a good football player, a guy that has a motor, that gets after the people. And, you know, yes, he did have an injury, but evidently they must feel very comfortable in that, in regards to that, as far as they looked it over and probably talked to the medical staff. So having him here and to have another guy to put some pressure on the quarterback, I think that'll help and it bodes well for the defense of the Indianapolis Colts.
I mean, look, we all know what Chris Ballard prioritizes in the draft, what he prioritizes in really his roster building, and it's up front. It's on the defensive line, and if you can affect the quarterback, that is how a defense kind of starts. So let's first talk about Leiatu Latu, the player, as we're starting to get to know this guy. Bill, you mentioned the neck issue, the medical issue. So he began his college career at Washington in 2019. He then missed the 2020 season with a neck injury that ultimately led him to medically retire in 2021. And then it was like late fall 2021, he got some good news on the neck, and he transferred. He entered the transfer portal. He wound up at UCLA. His first year at UCLA, plays in all 13 games, has 12.5 tackles for a loss, 10.5 sacks, 64 total pressures, according to Pro Football Focus. So he really got after opposing quarterbacks. In 2023, he appeared in all 12 of UCLA's games with 13 sacks, 21.5 tackles for a loss. And this, Bill, really stood out. According to Pro Football Focus, his pass rush win rate was 26.2%. That is the highest figure a Power 5 defender has had in the last 3 years in college football. So even if the play was maybe away from him, he was still beating the guy in front of him a little bit more than one in every four times. That is the sign of a really freaking good football player. And that is who the Colts now added to their defensive line.
A good football player that's not taking plays off, that's getting after people, trying to make tackles, trying to get after the quarterback. And give the young man some credit, because that takes a lot of courage. I mean, you have a neck injury, and then you come back and play, and then you're playing. You played 13 games after that, after your neck injury, after you've been cleared from the neck injury and you healed. And then you come back and play 12 more games after that. So you're playing 25 games after your neck injury, and you play at a high rate, a high ability out there in the football field and the things that you do. Give him a lot of courage to come back and playing. And you know what? If he's ready to play, let the man play. And like I said before, he must be okay, because if they drafted him, they feel very comfortable in how he is and how his medicals turned out when the medical people looked him over and gave him a physical.
The other thing with Latu is he's such like a like a clean player.
Yep.
The guy was only flagged once last year in 2023. And then you pull up, you know, this is subjective, obviously, but like his Pro Football Focus grades. When Pro Football Focus has guys who are graded really, really high, it's this like shade of deep blue. Mm-hmm. That's like kind of hard to describe unless you're looking at it. And I'm looking at it, and it is a deep blue. His overall defensive grade in 2023 was 96.3. His pass rushing grade was 94.1. And this guy's no slouch against the run either. That was at 82.4. This guy's a really good player. The reason why he probably wasn't considered as a top 10 pick is the medicals.
Yes.
But like you said, Bill, the Colts do extensive research on the medicals. They turn over every stone. They go through every scan, every test that they possibly can. This is a pick you're making, not just for the next, you know, for 2024.
No.
You're making this pick thinking that this guy can be a focal point of your defensive line for the better part of the next decade. And to do that, you are going to be confident in the medicals. And when you hear from Chris Ballard later tonight, we're recording this, 5 minutes after the Colts made the pick?
Yes.
I would assume that'll be a question he'll be asked. And I would have to figure the answer is, we're comfortable with the medicals. He didn't miss a game the last 2 years, and we feel good about the trajectory he is on in terms of his ability to stay on the field.
Yeah, I mean, you think that they're looking at the future, not just 2024, but down the road. And if he continues to play like he did play in college, that's going to be good for the Colts' defense, someone that's going to be a staple there on the defensive line for the Colts, to put pressure on the quarterback. And not just put pressure on the quarterback, but play the run as well. Play the run as well. Make big plays out there for the defense and be part of a rotation. You know, the Colts like to rotate guys in, keep them fresh, mm-hmm. be part of that rotation, and get after the quarterback. I mean, I think that's something that the Colts continually want to do, is to get after the quarterback and make sure you put pressure on the quarterback, but also play the run. And this guy can get off the ball very quick. He gets off the ball quick. He gets to the try to get to the pass rusher, has a nice bend, good body control, getting to the quarterback. And if he could do those all those things as he did in college, then that will help the Colts defense moving forward.
So let's talk about why the Colts did not take a cornerback here. I think that was the position when the Colts got on at 15, the Saints take Fuaga, the offensive lineman out of Oregon State. You're kind of thinking, all right, here it comes. Like here comes the cornerback, mm-hmm. right? And the Colts didn't take any of those guys that have been rumored to be in that range, which would be, you know, Terry Arnold from Alabama, Quinion Mitchell from Toledo, you know, maybe Nate Wiggins from Clemson, Cooper mm-hmm. DeJean from Iowa, any of those guys. And I think this goes back to how the Colts are building their team. This is what Chris Ballard has said he is, and that is a team that prioritizes building through the lines. The other thing, Bill, is if you have listened to what Chris Ballard has said throughout this offseason, he likes the Colts corners
yes.
that they have in the room. Do they need to add some competition? Yeah,
yes.
But Jalen Jones is a guy who the Colts really liked what he did last year. They saw a lot of good things. Juju Brent's a guy who did a lot of good things on the field. He needs to stay healthy. And I don't know if – I never viewed it necessarily as the Colts looking at their quarterback room, Bill, and being like, that is a gaping need on this team. I think you get to 15, no one's taking a defensive player, and you go, let's just take the top defensive player on our board, which in this case is a defensive lineman, because that's how the Colts had it graded out.
And as you stated, if you listen to Chris Ballard, he was happy with the defensive backs that on this team. He said, yes, they were young. They made some mistakes. But when you look at it, if you have a guy like Latu and he does his job, he puts pressure on the quarterback, that's going to help the defensive backs out there to make their plays, to cover, and the ball might come out a little quicker than what the quarterback wants to get it out for the opposing team, and that will help the defensive backs. And then you have Juju Brents, as you said, if he can stay healthy, he showed what he could do out there in the football field. And you say Jalen Jones, a young guy, developing. If these guys keep developing as we think they can develop, they're going to be a good secondary. Now, will they probably add some competition out there? Of course, that's what they want. You know, Chris loves to have competition out there because it's only going to make the team better. So by adding an edge rusher that can get some pressure on the quarterback, it's going to help the back end of that secondary.
Also, let's just kind of zoom out a little bit here. the Colts not taking a quarterback in this situation did not lead to a run on cornerbacks.
No.
If you look at the picks that came after, Seattle took Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas. Minnesota then trades up with Jacksonville, gets Dallas Turner, the defensive end from Alabama. The Bengals take Amarius Mims at 18, the offensive tackle from Georgia. Now, we don't know what the Rams are going to do yet as we are recording this, but even in just those first three, it wasn't like there were this rash of teams being like, oh, man, like this corner's sticking out on our board. We got to go up and get him. That doesn't mean these guys aren't good players, but I'm just saying that as like the league, I think, would probably agree with the Colts not going corner here is the point I'm trying to make there.
Yeah, I mean, the league looks at things, looks at what our team's doing, and majority of the times, the league is in agreement of certain players,
how
they fall, where they fall, where they should be slotted at during the draft, because most of these scouts in the National Football League, they understand talent. They understand the needs of each team. So the Colts understand what teams need as far as ahead of them in the draft and below them in the draft. So they had an understanding that, you know what, maybe these guys will not go during this time. And not saying, like you said, not saying that they're not good. They are good players. They're very talented players. They're very good players. But for right now, these teams need other positions. And the teams are going to draft those positions. It's just like the Colts drafting an edge rusher.
So let's talk about offense now. If you're sitting there at 15 and you were hoping that, you know, a Brock Bowers fell to you, Bowers went 13 to the Raiders, or you're hoping that, you know, maybe the Colts went for one of the wide receivers who had not been taken yet at this point. You got to remember, you need to stick to your draft board.
Yep.
In these moments. So let's talk about, you know, why the Colts maybe didn't take a receiver at 15. And I think that just goes back to your needs today are not going to be your needs tomorrow. If you reach for a wide receiver if you had that guy as the, you know, say the 25th mm-hmm. guy on your board or 26th guy on your board, and you take him at 15, the chance that guy misses and you're just right back here taking another receiver in a year is higher than if you just stick with defensive end. And by the way, defensive end, where you do have some guys who are going to become impending free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Dio Dangbo's contract is up after this year. Colts have a decision to make on Quiddy Pay's fifth-year contract, his fifth-year option. You know, Samson Ebkom is only signed to, I believe, a three-year deal when the Colts signed him. So there will be opportunities for Latu, you know, to compete right away, but also then to maybe be a, like, full-fledged starter in a year or two. If you reached in this spot at 15, you'd be like, I don't know, do we really feel good about that? And this is a draft that is supposedly deep in wide receivers. Maybe there's an option for the Colts later on in this year's draft for them to go get one of those guys who can go help out the offense. As for trading up and trying to get a Brock Bowers, I think if the Colts tried to do it, which I don't know if they did or they didn't, I think what kind of hurt the Colts is that there were six quarterbacks taken.
Yes.
I legitimately think that actually hurt the Colts here, where there were so many teams, Bill, after you got past that kind of top three that was going to be chalk
mm-hmm.
of Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. There were so many teams that were like, we got to take a quarterback. There's no way we're trading back because apparently Atlanta was going to take a quarterback.
Yeah, that was a shocker, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Minnesota, everyone knew, was going to take a quarterback. And then Denver, they take a quarterback too. So if you're sitting there, and the Raiders were rumored to be in on a quarterback too, if you're sitting there and you're like, yeah, we'll go back to 15 with the Colts, we'll still get a quarterback. No, you wouldn't. You would not have got a quarterback.
No. No. You wouldn't have got a quarterback.
That impacts then the pool of teams that are willing to trade back. But then, with all those quarterbacks going, that also then rises up everyone else.
Yes.
So all of a sudden, if you're, you know, say Chicago, and you're like, oh my God, we got Rome Odunze at 9? There's no way we're trading back out of this pick. We got a receiver we think is going to be a great player to go with Caleb Williams.
Exactly.
We're not trading out of that pick. You know, if you're Tennessee and Joe Walt just went at 5, and you're sitting there and you're like, well, we really want to get an offensive lineman. We think J.C. Latham is the second best tackle or maybe the best tackle in this year's draft. We're not trading out of that pick. So it led to, I think, a scarcity. And I think there are some people who are surprised, Bill, that there weren't as many trades in the top 10. But I think it goes back to the quarterbacks, and it goes back to the then elite level players at wide receiver and tackle that all went off the board in the top 10 that you couldn't really move up and get anyone off those guys.
Exactly. And then you talk about, you know, I think Chris Ballard has said earlier before is that, you know, this draft is deep at the offensive line position and is deep at in regards to the wide receiver. So you know that possibly later on you can get a wide receiver that's going to be very effective for your team. It's going to be very good. It's going to help your team out, and it's pretty deep. So, you know, maybe people say, well, the Colts should have got this player or this at this position. They got the position that they thought they needed at the time. They got the position where they can that player can affect the game in regards to stopping the run, putting pressure on the quarterback, like I said before, but also helping your secondary. Helping a secondary in regards to putting pressure on the quarterback, hopefully making it shorter for the time the quarterback to sit back there and try to pick the secondary apart, but put pressure on them to get the ball out of his hands quick. Help the young – well, they won't be young guys now. They'll be guys that have some experience back there. And as Chris said before, these aren't young guys now. They've had some experience. They need to go back – they need to go out there and play. And it will help those guys out there playing in the back end. So the Colts went for – edge rusher and Latu, and you know what? As long as everything works out for the medicals, which I truly believe they will, I think, you know, it's a good pick for them and to go out there and help the defensive line to do their job and to continue to get sacks as the team got sacks last year.
So just kind of reading through Leiatu Latu's write-up that Dane Brugler does with The Athletic, just the quick synopsis. Overall, Latu's medical history will play a major part in his draft grade, but he's a pass rush technician with the instinctive feel and athletic bend to be an impactful two-way go rusher in the NFL. His play style and journey are reminiscent of Miami Dolphins 2021 first-rounder Jalen Phillips, who's a pretty good player.
Pretty good player.
You know, double-digit sack guy. So there it is, Bill. We've got our first-round pick. We've got Leiatu Latu coming to Indianapolis. He'll probably be here tomorrow on Friday, depending on when you're listening to this. That could also be today. And we'll have plenty of coverage around his arrival to Indianapolis here on Colts.com, on the Colts app, and on the Colts Audio Network. All right, well, for Bill Brooks, I'm JJ Stankovitz. Thank you so much for listening to this special episode of Instant Reaction here on the Colts Audio Network. Talk to you next time. So long.